And now I'd like to introduce the speaker, Gail Mack, who is here for the first time joining us, although she's been doing this kind of work for ages. She is a naturopath, a spiritual presenter, a facilitator, and author of a book called Activating the Gaia Brain for Higher Consciousness. And she also runs a health clinic, which is called Body and Nature. And she has her own spiritual guidance company called Keys to Ascension. And today she's going to be talking to us about activating the Gaia brain.
Glia
brain. Okay, when I think of glia, I think of the brain, right. Through spiritual breath and quantum infinity. Welcome, Gail.
Just there we go. I'd rather not be standing on those cords the whole time. Hi. So I think somebody turned off the monitor when they were getting ready to announce that. I see what I'm going to talk about. Takes a few minutes? Okay. Oh, so I can do my thing? Okay. So they caught me this morning when I was coming in. I was playing my so chord, balancing the energy in the room and getting myself centered, and he said, okay, I got you. There I am. Okay. So, real quick about my background. I am a naturopath. I have been channeling the Divine Mother. You can't hear me? Get closer. Okay. Is this better?
Yes.
Okay. So I have been channeling the angels and Divine Mother and working with the Mary since I've been three, really since I've been able to talk. At three, wisdom far beyond my years of age were coming through, so that's why I say I started channeling at the age of three. My grandparents were Hungarian gypsies, so they recognized my gift because I come from a line of hands-on healers and herbal healers. So I was informally schooled with nature and the divine. So when I talked about Mother God and the fairies and the Marys, they knew exactly what I was talking about, and they promoted that for me instead of saying that, you know, that's my imagination. So I grew up being really supported. In 93, I went to Egypt and I was doing an initiation. I had friends that were going to Egypt, and I knew that I had to be on this trip. And the way came, I was on the trip, and in the Temple of Isis, I became my light body. First, I did my little ego thing because I knew I was supposed to be in this ceremony participating, and they didn't call me to be in a position. And I was like, I'm supposed to be in this thing. And my friend started laughing at me and said, oh, you have your knickers in a twist? And I said, oh, I guess I do. Okay, let me get centered. So I went back, let go of my ego, and then the presenter said, Gail, you're supposed to stand at the main altar. So I had my little lesson. So when you get out of your ego, divine comes. So I'm at the altar and waiting for the rest of the ceremony to come up, and I'm doing my balancing, and Divine Mother comes through me and Isis comes through me, and as I'm reveling in this beautiful energy, I happen to look at my fingers and I was Mother of Pearl. I had become my light body. And I was so fascinated in watching my fingers that I didn't notice that somebody had come in front of me. So that's where the channeling really took a different level, became a different level. And because I became my light body, and I became my light body several times throughout my life, and twice on that trip, if I can become my light body, then I know everybody can become their light body. And then that became my journey, my purpose of life, to help others achieve this feeling in your light body. So for a long time, that's what I did. I just worked and I channeled. And then I opened up an alternative health clinic, and I started to get really heavy in the mundane today business. And then one day I said, wow, you know, when was the last time I meditated? I couldn't remember the last time I meditated because I was so busy. So I stepped back and I recommitted myself to my spiritual path. And then the way started to become easy and life started to flow again. Then I was given the information for the glia brain. So with that, I will open up the glia brain. So the glia brain, when you awaken your glia brain, it increases your ability to access multidimensionality, your higher consciousness, your creativity. You can manifest really well when your glia brain and your frontal lobes are active. Going multidimensional, moving into the realms and moving out of your physicalness and the day-to-day life, you can move into that altered state. You can move in through the gates when you move up past your crown chakra into the eighth gate. That's a very beautiful place. That's where you become very blissful. Has there anybody in this room been in that eighth state, in that suspended, it's not really animation, but it's just, it's a brilliance in that Christ consciousness where you've, okay. When you achieve it, it's going to be really nice, and these are the techniques that I'm going to share with you, the way that I did it, what Divine has shared with me to help you move through. And we're also in a place and a time that the planet is moving into a multidimensional state, so there's no better time for you to become your light body, and it's so much easier now to access than it was, say, 30 years ago. So we have two brains. We have our neural brain and we have the glia brain. The neural brain works with the gray matter and it deals with the consciousness in the physical world. Your glia brain is the white matter and it accesses your spiritual realm, it accesses your emotional field, it accesses the body and the physical body, and it allows the electrical frequencies to be sent instantaneously throughout the body. If you know with an example that's often used, it's like if you step on a clove of garlic, you can taste it in your mouth in a few minutes. That's the glia brain. Those frequencies of the clove, the phenolics, the chemical compounds, the frequency of that substance moves through the glia brain instantaneously, and then you can taste it in your mouth. So the glia brain is the largest organ. It encapsulates the brain, the organs, the nerves. It essentially wraps the nerves. It's what is your myelin sheath. It's the protective sheath. It is your insulator. So, I know once I look up there, I lose my train of thought. So, the glia brain and the glia cells, they are the protective cell that wrap your nerve endings. This protective cell sheeting, this myelin sheath, is what the electrical frequencies move through. Now I'm reversed. So your glia cells, they're mostly concentrated in your frontal lobe. And I will get on my track again. So the glia brain operates from the heart, and the neural brain operates from the mind itself. And when you hold the resonance of unconditional love, you are accessing your glia brain, and we are now in the place where you access your mind through your heart. We just came out of a long period of 26,000 years where the mind, the mental mind, was the most dominant force. That was the dominant energy. So everything was mental, it was more masculine, and it was void of the heart. A lot of the decisions and the experiences of the earth have been void of the heart. we've now moved into the new cycle where the divine feminine is coming in. We're moving into the heart, and we're now making our decisions from the heart through the mind, from the mind through the heart. And when you do that, you also access your masculine, divine masculine, and divine feminine. So we have glia cells. These are what glia cells look like. A short while ago, I was able to see a video of what glia cells look like under a microscope. And so they look like this, and they kind of have that flower of life pattern, but they have these long little fingers and hair things. And when you have damage to the cells or the nerves, to an organ, you have the glia cells just kind of move around, and then they kind of go towards each other, and as soon as they touch, they wrap up, and then they repair. So when you have nerve damage, you can actually repair that nerve, and you can protect it by increasing the glia cells. There's another. These were hand-drawn, the first glia cells, pictures of the first glia cells that were hand-drawn. That was back in 1919. And another picture of the glia cell. So in the nervous system, the glia cells outnumber the neurons 6 to 1. In the white matter of the brain, they can be 100 to 1. The glia cells measure 85% of our total brains, and the neurons are a mere 15%. And a little tidbit, Morris Fishbein of the FDA, he completely wrote out, or the AMA, completely wrote out the glia brain and the information of the glia brain back in the 20s. That's why you haven't heard about it, and it's now starting to make its way back into consciousness. So Einstein's brain was the same as yours and mine. The only difference between Einstein's brain and ours is that he had more glia cells in his frontal lobe. So he activated his glia brain. This is your frontal lobe. Your frontal lobe is if you put your palm over your forehead, everything that's under your palm is your frontal lobe. The front third of your brain. So when you activate your glia brain, it stimulates your limbic system, which in turn increases the amount of glia cells that are in your frontal lobe. And the glia brain, like I said earlier, moves frequency through the body instantaneously, but it also is your true consciousness. This is your limbic system. And we know with the limbic system, there's a lot of talk now about the pituitary gland and the pineal gland and the calcification and re-stimulating the pineal gland and the pituitary. Your pituitary works on your wake-sleep cycle. The pineal helps with your intuition. The brainstem holds all your experiences. Everything you've experienced, whether you're conscious or unconscious of it, the brainstem holds those experiences and those memories, even past life, into this life. So I work with my glia brain. I work with Mary Magdalene because I do channel the Marys. And a little regression here. I was doing my glia brain workshops, and then I was asked to speak on Mary Magdalene. So I asked her, what would you like me to speak about? And she said, reread my Gospels. So as I'm reading the Gospels of Mary Magdalene, my glia brain workshop overlaid in the Gospel verses. And I realized that the glia information was what was missing, the esoteric information that was missing from the spiritual information in the Gospel of Mary Magdalene. So in the Gospel of Mary Magdalene, she writes, he, as Jesus, is calling upon us to be fully human and anthropos. We hold within us the ability to be the image and the likeness of God. We are Anthropos. We are already and not yet, just as the acorn is both already and not yet the oak tree in all its splendor. I really like that, because that phrase really wraps up who we are, because we are light. We are condensed light, and we have the ability to spin our frequency, raise our frequency, and spin our molecules to become light. We all have that ability. It takes commitment and faith and a little discipline. Pardon? Yeah.
The symmetry.
Yes.
It speaks a million words.
Thank you. So here is the limbic system, and I'm sorry I don't have a pointer, but you can see on the right here is the Eye of Horus. So back in Egypt, they put this, you see this on a lot of the symbols, on a lot of the temples, on the walls, and the hieroglyphics. This is a subliminal of the limbic system. Can you see the tracing?
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So here is the brain stem. So back then, for people who have been attracted to the Eye of Horus, it has been reminding you to activate your limbic system. So back in the days of Alexander in Egypt, they were teaching the esoteric teachings. The high priesthood and the high temples, Jesus and many of the priesthood and the Levites, they were taught this information and the esoteric information. And when the Temple of Heaven wasn't a place that you went when you died, it was a place that you went when you learned to become one with nature and you could spin your frequency, become unconditional love, and become your light body. Then you moved into the higher teachings, into the Temple of Heaven, and you continued your esoteric teachings there. And then you could, that was called ascension, you could then choose when to come down into your physicalness and when to be in your ascended light. And the church removed this information, this esoteric information, because they can't control the masses if everybody's moving into their light bodies. So there was a experience at the Sphinx where they finally, with all the technology, they were able to move the molecules in the stone and move into the ascension chamber between the arms and the paws of the Sphinx. And while they were in there doing all of their recordings and doing their investigations, a being appeared. And of course, they said, you know, why are you here? How did you get in here? And he just smiled. And he wouldn't really talk to them, but they handcuffed him. And he just smiled, and he disappeared, and the handcuffs landed in the sand. So I shared this, because this little piece of information or this experience was downloaded to me when I was on a panel. And it just so happened that a fellow that was on the panel jumped up and asked how I got that information, because it was classified information. And I said, they just gave it to me. And if they gave it to me, they can give it to everybody here. So that's kind of my theme. And what I share is that I'm not special, I'm just committed. So when you commit yourself to be in your higher frequency, your higher consciousness, and your light body, you will find a way to do it. You have to be committed. It takes being in health, taking care of what goes in your body so you don't lower the frequency of your body, doing meditation, and we're going to go through that more in a few moments. So here is the amygdala. This is a big piece that has really been missing. A lot of people focus on the pituitary and the pineal, but they're not getting the amygdala. So the amygdala, these little red spots in the front, they sit on either side of your third eye. So if you want to find your amygdalas, you can put your thumbs into your ears, and then your middle fingers just above your third eye. Oh, sweet. Thank you very much. I have a pointer. Okay, let me just set this here. So thumbs in your ears, middle fingers on your forehead, above the inside of, by your third eye, above the inner corner of your eyes, not in here, but on your forehead. If you know where your third eye is, you can just follow that over, and there's little indents. That's where your amygdalas are. They sit about an inch inside the skull. The amygdalas have a front and they have a back. When you are in your posterior, amygdalas, that's where you're in your day-to-day issues. That's where depression sits in. People who are locked in depression, that are angry, bipolar. These people have through trauma or self-application, have put themselves into a state where they get locked into their posterior amygdalas. T.D. Lingo was called a wild man on a mountain, and he actually discovered what he called popping or clicking forward into your amygdalas. So he, in his state of depression and his way of getting into a more balanced state, started doing this process of meditation, and he knew that he had to clear the negative emotions. So as he's doing clearing the negative emotions with himself and other people, he started hearing this clicking. And it's as people move into their frontal lobes. So when I read this, I started laughing because I've been working and doing hands-on healing on people for a long time. And oftentimes when I'm holding their head or doing 2 points on them, I've heard that clicking and I didn't realize what I was doing until a couple years ago. I was helping and facilitating people to move into their frontal lobes. So when you are doing your amygdala stimulation, you sometimes will hear that popping. Sometimes you will feel the push. Sometimes you feel a little whirl or a hum. Everybody feels it a little bit different. But when you do open and switch on your amygdala, you awaken hidden brain functions, some that you already are accessing and some that you wish you could access and didn't know how to. It just comes naturally. This is our God-given state, to be in our light bodies and to see 3-4 days in advance. So when you open your amygdalas, your precognition comes in, your clairvoyance. I can say, oh, so-and-so is calling, pick up the phone, and people look at me, and then a couple seconds later, the phone rings, because I feel them coming in. I know who it is that's calling. You can stretch time, which I had that expand space and time. For example, on my way to the airport to come here, I kept having delays, and I got on the road at 1:20, and my flight was boarding at 2:30. And I live 45 minutes from the airport without traffic. So I pull into the shuttle place at 2:18, and they said, Miss Gale, you know you're going to miss your flight. I know nothing of the sort. I trust that I'm going to get on this plane. They said, okay, let's go, Miss Gale. They put me on. They drove me over. I get to the baggage claim and to give my luggage. And the porter said, ma'am, you do know that you're boarding. I said, in 13 minutes? Yes, I do. He said, then I need to take you to special assistance. So he wheeled me over and he moved me to the front of the line. And she said, you do know that you're boarding in 8 minutes? Yes, I do. Okay, you are in pre-check, da-da-da-da. They moved me over. I was there, and I come flying. She says, but you must run. So I run to my gate, and I get there. I'm out of breath. Have they called Zone 1 yet? No, the plane's late. So I was able to get lunch. I got water. I went to the bathroom. I got calm, and then I sat down, and I smiled, and I'm just laughing, and it's great because 10 minutes before I was to board, I was just pulling into the shuttle. So you can stretch time. So my thought, I said, okay, I've done this before. Stretch time. Let my time be really fast and the time at the airport be really slow. And I put that out there. I don't know how. I didn't say how it was supposed to be. I just put out that intention. I don't really care how it came about, but I put out that intention and Divine mastered it. So people get so busy and caught up in how it's supposed to be. If you just put out your intention and you just let Divine do it, they know what's best. And so they do that, like having to replace a little part here or there. So when you do activate your amygdala and your glia brain, you do get your higher consciousness gifts. So coming back to the clicking, some people say that it feels like flying when they are stimulating their amygdala. T.D. Lingo used the technique of doing breath work and meditation and visualizing that you have a feather tickling your amygdalas. Some people, that works great. For me, it didn't really do anything, but because he had great success, I put that in there. So just do whatever works for you, and what works for you may not work for the person next to you. But it's all good, as long as you're doing something. So the feather technique is good. The spiral breath technique, breathing is really good for you. When you do breath work every day, it balances your brain. If you do breath work for 20 minutes, it really balances your brain and moves you into higher frequency. And it gets both lobes of your brain working at the same frequency. Headaches, people that have migraines, one side of the brain is wigging out and the other side is vibrating very slow. So if you can balance the vibration of the brain, you can ease the headaches without any medication. The spiral breath technique I'll go into in a few minutes. This was a technique that was given to me 2 years ago. I had a brainstem injury. Won't go into the details, but I was hit at the base of the skull unexpectedly, and I really wasn't aware that I knew something was off. I knew that I knew I was off, but I wasn't aware how bad my brainstem injury was. I knew that for a week and a half I couldn't spell my name. I knew for like a year and a half I couldn't remember two sentences back to back. So I asked Divine, and I would cry at the drop of a hat. I was just crying all the time, mostly because I had a photographic memory and it was gone and I couldn't figure out what was wrong with me, and I wasn't equating it to the blow that I took to the back of my head. So I asked Divine to give me a way to heal that, and they gave me the spiral technique, the spiral breath technique. So I'll show you that in a minute. Then meditation works great. Walking labyrinths, sitting in vortexes, sacred spaces. If you go to Sedona, it's great because there's vortexes you can sit on and the energy just swirls around. There's vortexes that move the energy up and there's vortexes that take the energy in. So you can actually, you can see, look at the trees that are around a vortex and you can tell whether it's going counterclockwise or clockwise because the trees kind of hug and move in the direction that the vortex is going. Essential oils, pure essential oils, are really good for raising your frequency and activating the glia brain. Music, the solfeggio tones, toning, the D sharp is really good for activating the pineal and the pituitary. And then techniques, bioenergetic techniques. I use the quantum infinity, which I'll show you that in a minute. So I've already described the feather technique, and I like this picture for the spiral breath technique because it kind of shows nature and how you're going to move the breath. So here is my pointer. So the spiral breath technique is bringing the breath into your heart, visualizing that it's coming into the heart because that's the core of the glia brain. It's where the glia brain is centered. You bring your breath up through your brainstem, so it comes through all that you have experienced You bring it up around your head, down into your nose. This is your inhalation, and you bring it into your limbic system, and you exhale through your amygdalas and third eye. So it sounds complicated, but it really is once you do it a couple times. So if you want to do that now, you can take a deep breath. And I like to say the yoga breath, that audible breath, so you hear it, the Darth Vader breath. So it's very good. Because when you make the breath, the audible breath, it busies your mind, so it gives your conscious mind something to focus on, so it's not thinking about your grocery list or that you have to pick up your child. So when you breathe in, and you can go as slow or as fast as you need to go at your own pace. So when you do this, keep on breathing. About a third or fourth time you do this, you start to feel a little sensation in your third eye. When I first started this process, about a week of doing it, my third eye, actually the skin on my forehead at my third eye, got crusty. I was trying to think, what did I get into? But after a while, that just flaked away, but I was purifying the calcification and the toxins that were in my amygdala and in my third eye. And just for knowing, and I'll show on the end, I do have a DVD with Mary Hardy that you can purchase in the next room. And on it, we have the breathing technique, and we actually have it in motion on the DVD. So it goes into more detail, and you can actually watch it, and it just slowly moves around with you with nice music. Peter Sterling playing his wind harp in the background. Very nice. Oh, there it is. So this is the cover of the DVD. Temple of Saqqara, holding the frequency of the heart. It's mostly on the Templars, activating the glia brains. Very nice. Focused imagery is another way of activating your glia brain and your amygdalas. And if you focus on the center, and another thing with doing your focused imagery, you can put in an intent. So when you put your intention in, whether it's to activate your glia brain, activate, open up your third eye, if you want to be more clairvoyant, if you want to heal your shoulder, whatever, if you have emotional issues, you have something going on in your life you don't have an answer to and you need answers, put it in there, in the center, that's your intent. And as you're doing the spiral breath, just focus, and that be your intention. This formulation is creation. It's what the molecules are based on, and almost all of nature is based on. So as you're putting in your intent and you're breathing and you're focusing, you're actually manifesting that intention, and you're allowing divine and sacred geometry and spiritual energies just manifest that for you. And again, the way, you don't have to always necessarily have the way, focus on the outcome, and the way just comes. Here's another version of that. And then in here you can see Metatron's cube, again, sacred geometry. There's wonderful art that you can find on the internet, Google Images, that takes that same concept, and if you focus long enough, you actually see these images start to come forth in that picture. It's all sacred geometry. So you can focus on this. Wherever your eye takes you is where you need to go.
What's the name of the tournament?
I knew you were going to ask me that. I don't know. But I promise you, if you put in pineal imagery or pineal art, you're going to find that picture on Google Images. I thought about that last night when I was looking. It's like, I don't have that, sorry. Walking a labyrinth. So walking a labyrinth activates your glia brain. It activates your limbic system. Labyrinths, they put in the churches and the cathedrals. It was a safe place. Cathedrals used to be, the church were the safe places that you went. This was where you could go and you could come back into your consciousness, get yourself centered. By walking the path, you do this clocking action. Whoops, let's see. There we go. And it actually balances the right and left side of the brain. And when you get into the center is where you can ascend and you get your answer. So labyrinths set up a tachyon field and they oscillate back and forth. And walking the labyrinth pattern is the clocking action of the tachyon field. And they focus, they spin, they refocus, change direction. And each point of the crossover in the field is a polarity change, and it creates three, in the technical part, it creates three pairs. That's male, female, neutral. Positive, negative, neutral.
So each time you do your turn, you change direction of the
you change, cycle. Exactly. Mm-hmm. It refocuses. And you go from the right side, or the left side of your brain to the right side, it reconnects to the left side, and that's all you're doing, going back and forth, reconnecting the brain. And that also reconnects the heart to the brain and connects you to divine.
What do you think about while you're walking?
Oh, again, you put in your attention. Same thing, whatever you want. Healing, you can put in a specific to open you up if you have a question that you need answered. I also, too, like to program before I go to bed. I ask Divine to give me the answer upon waking, and as I wake up, I feel this come in, and then I have my answer. The more you do that, the faster you'll have your answer in the morning. You can also program yourself to have it come in when you take a drink of water. That's pretty cool, too. So you'll be sitting there and have your water next to the table, and you take a sip, and it comes in that fast. So physical matter is created as particles slow down and they become more solid in their structure. And spiritual world of light is achieved when the particles are accelerated, so each particle is in motion. And when each particle is in motion, the faster they spin, the higher the frequency and the vibration, and your particles become weightless. And your soul is tachyon energy. And when, my time in Egypt, we went to the Great Pyramid, and I laid in the sarcophagus. Everybody was supposed to get a chance to lay in the sarcophagus. And then I laid in the sarcophagus, and I said, oh, I've been my light body once, I can do this again. And the sarcophagus, this was the final initiation in the path. So it's an initiation chamber and not a tomb. So I laid in and I took a deep breath and I said, I can do this. And I saw my light come down to my waist and I said, I can do this. And I took another inhale and as I exhaled, the light went down to my feet and the last thing I saw was, bloop, my feet falling over. Then I was out in the eighth gate and I had no form. I was just energy. It was my consciousness, my being, but no form. There were stars around me. It was so bright, but it was equally bright as it was dark. And in this time, I was being welcomed. I was being schooled. The feeling that is so immense, when I think about it, it brings me to tears. There is no word to describe in the physical realm what you feel when you move into this state. It really is an experiential experience. But I'm here to say again, if I can do it, any of you can do it. So being in that experience, then I knew that the soul is energy, and when we leave this physical body, we are still present in our energy, in our individuality. We become that oneness. were in that form. And then I heard, I think she's dead. And I saw this itty-bitty little square of light. It's like, dead? Who's dead? And my consciousness started to go back. Me? I'm not dead. And then I heard this big crash, which I thought somebody had fallen over and fallen onto a grate, which I later recently ran into the videographer almost 20 years later, and he said, I didn't fall off. I was standing on a stone. I never fell off. But that crash was my physical, my light body compressing that fast into my physical body, and I became matter really fast, and I heard that. And my eyes were open, but I still was not breathing. And then my consciousness came in, and I realized that the facilitator of the tour was sitting on me, and she's giving me mouth-to-mouth and pushing on me, going, breathe, breathe. And I was like, what are you doing on me? You weren't breathing. So I said, I was just gone for a second. And everybody's shaking their head, no. And the guy I was dating, he said, you didn't take a breath for 23 minutes. And I was still vibrating when I stepped out. So again, when you move into light, you can do that with your intention. I knew with every ounce of my being, I could be that. And I did it. Being in a spiritual vortex, that helped. Being in meditation every day, that's where we were immersed in ceremony 24/7, and we were clear in our emotional issues, and I was clear in that moment and was able to move through. So a little tidbit that I've come across for those that are Catholic, and I was kind of raised Catholic. When you make the sign of the cross, you are closing yourself, you're binding your energy down. It was a ploy from the, you just did it? I thought you were giving me signs, it's like my time was to speed up. Okay, so when you bring your consciousness into your heart, it's locking your consciousness, bringing your consciousness down. You're closing off your feminine from your masculine. So it's, you've heard with the witches that you were crossed up, you were hexed. Those were symbols. That's where that came from, is crossing you up. So when they would give you last rites and they would put the little cross on your third eye, they were closing your third eye so you didn't move into the higher realm and they could access then and utilize your energy. So I was given in guidance to do palm on the heart and share your love this way. So this is what I do, or I go from my heart up, and you see some of the ancient cultures, they do the heart, from the heart to the mind up. They don't bring from the up down and lock into the physical realm. So the heart up, or and do whatever you are guided. But that keeps you open. Yes, ma'am.
Us a text or sighting that I can look up more about that, the sign of the cross issue?
You know, I don't know, because that's what I got when I was in my...
I haven't heard it.
Have you?
Yes, and I don't know where.
Okay.
I read it.
Okay.
I could have been in Mary's part of the pyramid
book. Oh, it could be? So you could find it in Mary Hardy's pyramid book, and she has one of those in the next room too.
Why do you say rock? Couldn't it be just grounding?
Pardon?
Couldn't you be just grounding the divine in your body as well as locking it?
Well, really, when it comes down to it, it's intention. But the purpose, the original reason for doing that was to lock you into the physical realm so you couldn't access your higher realm. That was the purpose. But you could use it for grounding, but you know, for grounding I'd visualize, you know, a tree and roots and whatever. So it really just comes down to your intention, and if that feels comfortable for you, because that's what you know. But I was guided to not do that and just bless from my heart forward, or from my heart to my mind up to spirit. Because we already are connected. We are in the 3D.
How do you block
Yep, and we're heavy.
I understand that. How can you lock anything out that's new?
Well,
what I'm saying, this is you're just grounding the spiritual energy into your body. You can't lock it out when we're connecting.
Well, technically you can. There are a lot of ways that we do that. The chlorine and the fluoride in the water, the electromagnetic pulse, the smart meters that are on your house. There's a lot of ways that the powers that want to be in control. There's a lot of things that are done, our GMO food. There's a lot of things that are in the way of our... Oh, I need to plug in. Can I plug in? Oh, yeah. Let's see. Hold that thought. I got ready at 8:30. I was ready. Okay. So again, when you walk the labyrinth, you switch back on your tachyon fields and you activate your glia brain, you move back into your limbic system. Very nice. So every atom, molecule, cell, organ, it has a subtle organizing energy field. I'm sure you all are familiar with that here. And it exists just below the speed of light. And the tachyon field actually is faster than the speed of light. And Tesla was able to prove this, and he was able to document this. And our auric field is faster than the speed of light. And when you move into divine love, unconditional love, that is a very high frequency. That's the power of the Christ light. That is a very high frequency of molecules. And also, too, when you're in unconditional love, oftentimes you will see the color emerald green because unconditional love vibrates at the color of emerald green. That's where Green Sleeves came from, too. It's one of Mary Hardy's favorite songs. But the priest and the priestesses... the priests that carried the covenant of the ark, they had to be at a certain frequency to be in resonance with the ark so they could carry it. And they often glowed green because they were in a state of unconditional love. So their hands glowed and their sleeves glowed emerald green, and that's where the song came from. So our heart and our mind, when we balance them together, when we work our mind by accessing it through the heart, we activate the glia brain. That balances the sacred feminine and the sacred masculine, and it allows us to move and vibrate our light and our light bodies. Essential oils are really powerful for activating the glia brain and the limbic system and raising the frequency of your body. With Mary Magdalene, you always see Mary Magdalene with an urn, with some kind of alabaster jar that has essential oils in it. And in France, they believe Mary Magdalene brought the oils and the teachings of the essential oils to France. So as you know, each plant, flower, bush, shrub, they all have unique natural compounds. And those chemical compounds and phenolics can be measured in voltage, can be measured in hertz frequencies like electricity. So essential oils, pure essential oils, can actually, they have a frequency, a regular frequency to them. Rose and frankincense, they are some of the highest vibrational essential oils you have, and you must have pure essential oils to have the frequencies. Frankincense vibrates at 147 hertz volts, and rose oil vibrates at 320 hertz. Our human body in a healthy, semi-healthy state vibrates at 80 hertz. So with essential oils, if you use essential oils say frankincense. I use frankincense every morning. It's the first thing I do when I wake up. I use it on my face. I smell it. I anoint my chakras. It's just something that I feel, that I like, that I enjoy. So with, everybody have those down? Okay. So with the essential oils, when you're using the essential oils, say if you're using frankincense and that's at 147 Hertz volts and my body's at 80. When you use the essential oils, there's a process called entrainment. So it, your frequency will actually raise somewhere between 80 and 147. The more you use the oils, the higher your physical body is going to become, the higher your frequency is going to become. I use the oils every day. So this also helps to raise your frequency, raise your vibration, activate the glia brain. So when you stimulate the amygdala gland and the limbic system, you can activate the higher chakras, those that are off the body, and you can actually change the structure of the RNA and DNA using high-frequency, pure-grade essential oils. And just smelling the essential oils can trigger an immediate response from the cells and in your mood, activate your limbic, your neural, your amygdalas, and your glia. You get that immediate response because pure essential oils, they display both the physical, the principal laws of classical physics and quantum physics. So in classical physics address the dimension of substances that are the size of an atom or larger. And these can be measured. They deal with our senses, our five senses of taste, sight, smell, hearing, and touch. And on a quantum level, quantum physics addresses the actions that of substances that are smaller than an atom, such as electrons and neurons and protons, quarks and subatomic particles, your tachyon fields. So most of the chemical compounds found in pure essential oils are made up of unique aromatic and benzene rings. And these rings or chains are comprised of hydrocarbon molecules. Here's an aromatic ring, six-sided, perfect sacred geometry shape. And like the benzene rings in the essential oils, the RNA DNA have double ring bases, are perfect six-sided hexagonal rings that are equal to that of pure essential oils. So these chemical compound rings, they are actually energetic wave formations. And they can manifest as particles of matter, which is chemistry, and they can manifest as waves of energy, which are physics, or they can be both at the same time. So essential oils are essentially quantum physics and physics. So using the essential oils, you can repair the DNA. You can repair the DNA with the power of thought when you raise your frequency through meditation. But with essential oils, you can change your DNA in the energetic waveforms that influence energy. And you can also do it with sound, electromagnetic frequency, and light. And harmful electromagnetic energy, harmful chemical smells, Febreze, they can be harmful even though they smell good. They are not necessarily good for you. So you want to make sure that you're using pure essences when you work and watch your electromagnetic frequencies. So the quantum aspect of essential oils sends the frequency of the vibration instantaneously through the brain, activating the glia brain, or through the glia brain. The signals of essential oils, the frequencies are so small that we cannot see them, but they are powerful enough to make a cellular and vibrational change within seconds. Frankincense is one of my favorites. Rose is one of my favorites. Oftentimes, when I channel Divine Mother, the scent of rose wafts through the air. And I usually don't wear rose oil when I go out, especially if I'm outside channeling, because the bees love it too. But oftentimes when I channel, people will smell the scent of rose. When people see angel apparitions or Mary Magdalene, the Virgin Mary, or Jesus, they often smell rose. Rose is one of the highest frequencies, 320 hertz. It's also the frequency of unconditional love. So Dr. David Stewart defined pure essential oils perfectly when he says that they are vehicles of light, of living energy. They are the same subtle bioenergy that flows through all life. They possess the same original life force and chi that connects all living things in our universe. So there's a process of using pulsing the feet. For those that are familiar with Young Living Oils, I prefer Young Living Oils because I know that they are monitored from seed to seal. They're Gary Young's seeds. He knows where they came from. He monitors the growing. He monitors the processing, the distilling. They are measured. They're bottled. So seed to seal to you. So that's why I use Young Living. But any pure essential oil, you can put 5 drops of pure essential oil into your palms, rub your palms together, and then rub them on the soles of your feet. And you want to hold your left palm to the left foot, right palm to the right arch. You can do it on yourself. And when you're working with somebody, if they're face down, you're in the same direction, so you can have right hand to right arch. When they're face up, you need to cross your hands so that you're having right hand to right arch, left palm to left arch. And you'll just hold the arches and the palms, and pretty soon you're going to start to feel a pulse and the heartbeat in the palm of your hand. And when they're even in both sides, then they're balanced. And the glial brain is activated, and that's when you can really get into some deep healing work. And if you just have time to pulse your feet in the morning, pulse your feet in the morning before you go. I like to do it before I go to bed too, because it just cleanses the day. Mary Magdalene taught in her school with the Sisterhood of the Emerald Fire. She taught about spinning the heart chakra. So when you spin the heart chakra using essential oils or in meditation during your breath work, if you visualize as above, so below, the sign of David, you can spin one triangle to the left, one triangle to the right. And as you're spinning these and you visualize and you're doing your breath work, you actually create that Merkaba, and then after a while you move into unconditional love. You can expand that and you can actually feel that you are sitting inside the Merkaba. And this is a way of balancing the heart and creating the frequency of unconditional love. You can add this to your breath work, you can use it, you can visualize it when you're doing healing work on others. But spinning the heart chakra, it's also in Mary Hardy's videos that we did. So the quantum infinity. So I understood when I, just before I came up to speak, that this is the technical room. So I said, okay, so I have my little technical piece with the quantum infinity. So we have Kathy here that has her wonderful bioenergetics, but there are really nice systems that are out there. Whatever resonates best for you. For me, I have moved. I've had several bioenergetic systems over the years. And I really like this one. It's very simple. You can download it to your phone. You can put it on your iPad. You can't put it on your desktop, but it's iPad, iPhone, or Note tablet. So this is a real inexpensive process, program that you can get and download. And, pardon? Oh, it's called Quantum Infinity. So I have at the table in the next room, you can come by, I have some information on purchasing those. But it's really a simple process. And as you can see, there's different body types that you can use. You scan your aura. It's really nice. I like to scan your aura before you start, and then when you get finished with the process, then I scan it, and you can see how your body shifted. It also tells you when you're balanced, because it pops up a little note that says you've reached 528 hertz frequency of unconditional love. So you can work with body systems, chakra, emotional, and you slide them down into... Once you scan, you slide down into the multi-layer, and you can just, they call it multi-layer because you can add items from each of these screens, so you can really layer up and get your healing more in depth. You turn it on. I know this is little here. Pardon? Yes, so I'm not connected with this up there. But here I have a custom library that I've created because this is on the glia brain. So I have the glia brain and the limbic system, the items that are in the glia brain and the limbic. So when I do a scan, it'll tell me in red which items are the most are high, that need the most issue, and which items on the low scale that also need balancing, so that the low side could be chronic and the highs. I always just take the highs and the lows. So I'm not going to go into how this, the depth of it, give you a little training here, but just show you that with this, you can move the items down. And then when you are satisfied, you can put all of these items in, and then you hit the process so it's running. So it's putting off, it works on scalar technology, and depending on what you layer in, I like to layer in the sophageal frequencies and sacred geometries. So then you have your choice of where you can put the geodes. So when you have the geodes connected, then you concentrate the energy on the body. So you can put them wherever you like. When I'm working around my office, I kind of tuck them into my shirt so my hands are free. So you want these on your skin. You can put them at the base of the skull and the base of the spine, and it'll run the energy up the spine. So wherever you put it, when I'm working with my clients, I have the geodes on their hand. 5 minutes, okay, we're good. So I have them on their arms, and that way they can talk, they're getting balanced, and I can scan them, I can balance them and move them in. And it's amazing as they start to balance, they just start opening up and they go, I don't know why I'm going to tell you this. And then they tell me some deep emotional experience that they had that they've never told anybody, but they're in a safe place that they can bring that forward and their body can deal with it now. So I use this for myself, I use it with my patients in my office, but anybody, and it runs just under $1,200 is a special that you can purchase, and the company makes it really comfortable for you. But it's a really nice process. Let me see if sometimes when I take it out you can hear the frequencies. So these are the frequencies of the glia brain, the limbic system. If you like this, this is great. If you don't, some people say, oh, that's annoying. So you put in the concentrator. And now it's concentrating through the geos. And then you can put them on your body. Pardon? It comes in the package. Mm-hmm. And I just got an extender because working across the office, you know, my kids will play with them, so I got an extender so they're not pulling the wires out. So wrapping up and coming back full circle as this is going, I'm just going to let that process out. So if you're vigilant, being that we are talking about activating the glia brain and higher consciousness, Mary Magdalene said, be vigilant and let no one mislead you by saying, here it is or there it is, for it is within you that divine dwells. What that means for me is that don't let somebody tell you that your truth is wrong. You follow your own guidance. You do what brings truth for you. You toss out what doesn't work for you. Everybody has a different way that they're going to move into their light body, into their higher consciousness. Eating healthy is really good. Making sure you have the right minerals, the right nutritional value is key. Is what goes in the body anchors you in, and you can choose to have higher life forms in your body, or you can have low processed GMO foods that anchor you into the third dimension. But for those who seek divine, they find divine. And when you put it out, divine just brings it to you. And as long as your peace is dependent on any kind of external reality, it is not peace. As long as your love for others and for the world is dependent on attitudes and feelings towards others, it is not love. Only within our true being do we find a reality, a life, a knowledge, a love, and a peace that are not dependent. This reality is both who we are and what we must become. And again, the breath work and the spiral breath is on this DVD that Mary and I did. And I'm Gail Mack, and I thank you very much. Are there any questions? Because I have 2 minutes left. Good. Yes.
Are you going to be at the conference in Michigan this next weekend?
I am. So Mary Hardy has a conference, for those that live in the area, in Allegan, Michigan. She has a conference, the Temple of Saqqara. I'll go back. So this is her conference. This is what, your 33rd or 34th year in of the conference. It's lovely. She does it at her house. She has a pyramid in her backyard, an obelisk in the front yard. People camp. There's speakers that are going on all the time, so you can choose. It's like this, but it's mostly outdoors. But I do, I channel in the evenings on Saturday and Sunday on at 5 o'clock. And I do morning meditations at 8 in the pyramid. I speak a couple times each day throughout the day, and I do private sessions there too. So if you're in the area, come over. It's inexpensive, and it's just a lovely. If you can come for one day, it's nice. Sandy Kay's nodding her head. There's a few in the room that have been there. It's just a loving, lovely place to be, and you learn so much. And we also do a fire walk on Saturday night. So if you're up for that, when you commit to the fire walk, it's my first favorite thing was going through the fire walk and coming on the other side unscathed. My second favorite thing is being there to watch other people come across for the first time. It's absolutely beautiful. I love that experience and that joy when you get to witness those people stepping off those coals unscathed knowing that there's nothing in this world they cannot do when they put their mind to it. And that pure joy is what sends and spirals us up, and it's very contagious. So if you can, come on over. It's lovely.
And where is that?
Allegan, Michigan. If you go into the next room, Mary Hardy at our table, we have the flyers for that there, and there's the little map and the directions on how to get there. Yep, thank you so very much. I appreciate it.
Here, you want to take that off? I don't want to mess your hair up.
Oh, it's good.
There
it's
you
go. Naturally curly. It's gloves. If it gets messy.